The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Baba Yakubu. In the headlines, FIFA president said Blatter under investigation. Meteorological agency urges public to brace up for more rains. Ghana Health Service implores Parliament to ratify protocol to stop illicit trade in tobacco products. DVLA justifies computer-based test requirement for issuance of driver's license. And court hands down 20-year sentence to medical student's attacker, but says the summary by Priscilla Owusu-Ansah.
FIFA President Sepp Blatter is under investigation by U.S. officials as part of their inquiry into corruption at the World Football Body. The news came hours after Mr. Blatter announced he was stepping down from his role. U.S. prosecutors launched a criminal inquiry last week, with 7 FIFA officials arrested in Switzerland, part of a group of 14 people indicted. A meteorologist has asked Ghanaians to brace up for more rains in the coming days. He told Radio Ghana high-pressure systems over the Atlantic system have intensified. Meanwhile, the director in charge of Hydromet at NADMO says the organization is mounting a 24-hour surveillance to respond to any emergency. And the 22-year-old welder who attempted to rape a final-year female student of the Ghana Medical School at Ekole Bu campus has been sentenced to 20 years imprisonment by an Accra Circuit Court. The convict, Emmanuel Ayi, alias Khan, was also found guilty of robbery.
Our news informs and creates a forum for public debate and participation for national development. TBC News, accurate and total.
The news in detail. FIFA President Sepp Blatter is being investigated by U.S. officials as part of their inquiry into corruption at the World Football Body. The news comes hours after Mr. Blatter announced he was stepping down from his role. U.S. prosecutors launched a criminal inquiry last week, with 7 FIFA officials arrested in Switzerland, part of a group of 14 people indicted. 2 days after the arrest, Mr. Blatter was re-elected president of FIFA. Mr. Blatter, however, said FIFA needs profound restructuring. A football analyst lawyer Moses Fuamuni says the decision taken by Sepp Blatter, president of FIFA, to resign could be attributed to information he had concerning the corruption scandal that hit officials of FIFA. He said being the head of the organization, the possibilities of he being implicated could not be ruled out. He spoke to Radio Ghana.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, anybody who is examining the decision today must not take things on the surface. My own impression is Sepp Blatter has some legal training. He's supposed to be a lawyer. And I think he's got information that the people who were arrested by the FBI and the Swiss authorities, as we say in law, have started singing. And that's why there's enough information to go on him. I think that's why he's running away. He's jumping before he's pushed. I don't believe all the other reasons that have been given all over the place. I am very convinced that he has got inside information that has convinced him that, you know, very soon he's going to be arrested as well and charged. And that's why he's running off. And I'm sure that within the next week or two or a couple of months, we're going to see the real reasons why he's running away.
So it doesn't look like he's being forced to resign.
I don't think so at all. I mean, if there was anything to force him, it should have taken place last week. Look at all the things that happened, all right? But he won the elections. He looked very brilliant in the speech that ended the press conference, his acceptance speech. He was so confident. He said, go on FIFA. I don't know how he ended. And he was saying that, look, he can't be everywhere. He doesn't know everything. He's not corrupt. And there have been, you know, all the reports that we had indicated that there was nothing against him. So all of a sudden, if he's saying that he's leaving and he wants an extraordinary meeting to be called so he can get a replacement, you should find the reason beyond what he's telling us. I think the real reason is because he is, and he's a Swiss national, don't forget, and he's got connections within the Swiss legal authority. So I know, and I'm very much convinced about the fact that he's got information that then the people who are arrested have given information concerning that has linked him directly to what has been happening. That's why he's jumping.
Has this bribery and corruption scandal demystified the potential of FIFA from censorship and reproach?
To be honest with you, my dear, I think it was all a lot of bluster. Thankfully, all these matters came before the commission, and it's a sad that our report has not been released because, you know, as the chairman of the commission said, when we were presenting a report to the His Excellency the President, those matters have been dealt with. And I'm sure Ghanaians will be excited about the fact that we eventually prophesy what is happening. Because the fact of the matter is, although FIFA is an international sporting organization and its domestic affiliate is the Ghana Football Association, and it doesn't matter all the noise and the bluster that they throw around that they cannot be investigated, they are not subject to any law, that's not true. Because FIFA itself is a legal entity registered under Swiss law. So it is subject to the strict regime under the Swiss legal regime. And if they misbehave, if they misconduct themselves, then they will be investigated.
Lawyer Mwini called for a new United Sporting Body for Africa to manage soccer and other sporting activities.
I think what has happened has really concretized the view of some of us that, look, states, nation states, under international law, have the right to organize and superintend and supervise and regulate international sporting organizations, whether they be FIFA or whoever they are. I mean, it is shown quite clearly that state parties, the nation states, in the exercise of the international law, right to sovereignty and the right to state responsibility, are the ones that must regulate these international sporting organizations. And that all the noise that FIFA used to make about the fact that you cannot interfere when it comes to FIFA money and all of that, and that strict interpretation of Article 13 of the statutes, is all now out of the window. It doesn't make sense anymore, because the matters for which the FBI is investigating have to do with the use of marketing funds. And in respect of what the Swiss authorities are investigating, which is the World Cup of 2018 and 2022, I mean, you cannot say that these are not football matters. It wouldn't make sense if you told anybody that if another entity is investigating FIFA in respect of the award of its tournament, then that is not football matter.
Lawyer and football analyst Moses Fo Amwini, what do Ghanaians make of the resignation of FIFA boss Sepp Blatter? Radio Ghana hit the streets.
It would open doors for new people to also come and showcase what they have and also use it to support the sporting corporation. So I think they're good.
For me personally, I thought maybe he was too old for the business. He has been in office for a very long time. So if he has, like, maybe he's used to person. And I think it's a good thing. Maybe let's see what a new person that they are going to elect will do or can do about football.
They want to do to bring him back. If they think he's doing well, I think they have to work harder to bring him back. But if he's not doing well, I don't know what it might do. Either they will elect another one or anything else that will bring the stress of the program.
It's a good thing to resign. Because looking at the bribery allegations, it's a good thing for him to resign. And then you're talking about Ghana. What about Ghana? I don't know. That's the problem with African countries. They don't do the same thing. When they have to resign, they don't resign. They wait for to be pushed out before they push out, they go.
Working, he wants to resign.
Are we consistent?
No, perhaps after taking a second thought, decided to maybe let me step down so that person comes in. Maybe that is why. Any organization at a point, maybe your subordinates or who you work with, support you, I think that the people are fed up with you. At a point, you just have to know that people are not in support of you, so just step down for the next person to come in. So I think it's a lesson. That's the thing. Our leaders here can also learn something from it. Yeah. Well, in as much as we think that we can do it, at a point, realize that, it's not helping. People are not supporting you. So if people are not helping, you just have to step down for another person to come.
No, with that, there's corruption there. So if it calls for him to resign, maybe they're trying to clean the house. Recently I heard on the radio, they're talking about...
Those were views of some Ghanaian sports enthusiasts on the resignation of Sepp Blatter. Meanwhile, U.S. officials have denied that Washington had any hand in Sepp Blatter's shock resignation to resign as president of FIFA. As if the U.S. had pushed Blatter out of World Governance Football Body, the State Department Senior Advisor for Strategic Communications, Marie Hove, said the U.S. government does not have a position on who the president of FIFA is. The 79-year-old Blatter has faced increasing calls to step aside after the U.S. Department of Justice last week leveled accusations of rampant systematic and deep-rooted corruption against some of the sports leading officials. 14 officials and marketing executives have been accused by U.S. investigators of racketeering, wire fraud and money laundering. Away from FIFA issues, meteorologist Michael Paddy has asked Ghanaians to brace up for more rains in the coming days. He told Radio Ghana that high pressure systems over the Atlantic system have intensified. Mr. Paddy explained further on Behind the News with Agatha Samoa.
The high pressure system over the South Atlantic Ocean has intensified, and when such a situation occurs, it pumps more air or wind, which carries a lot of moisture from the ocean towards the land. So such a situation occurred, and other systems like the direction and speed of the wind have come in place. So that's why we experience such a situation of heavy downpour.
Well, Michael, would we experience heavy rains this year?
Yes, occasionally we expect to experience heavy rains like we had today. But in the general, we expect below average rainfall. It doesn't mean that instantaneously we cannot experience heavy rainfall, but in totality, it has been forecast that the rain would be slightly below average.
Slightly below average, what exactly do you mean? Can you explain that?
Well, when we take long-term rainfall, like over 30 years, which represents the climate of the area, then we expect what we would experience for the year to be slightly below the mean.
All right, so in times when there are heavy rains with this thunder and lightning, what are the precautions that one should take?
Well, it is very advisable that one should stay indoors and you can escape lightning. Lightning is very dangerous to human health and property. So during this time, we should try to keep ourselves indoors.
A meteorologist Michael Paddy. Meanwhile, the director in charge of Hydromet at NADMO, Sarah Dinku, says the organization is mounting a 24-hour surveillance to respond to any emergency.
We have dispatched 8 teams to the various areas that receive the calls, like Lekman, Gan Center, Awushi, and the Cocoa Beach, all the areas that we have received distress calls. We dispatched teams of 5 to each of these areas to do search and rescue. People have been trapped in their rooms, and our teams were there to rescue them. And also, trees have fallen, and our teams were there to clear the cut off and clear the road. And people were trapped in their taxis in front of GPC, for example, and our teams were there to rescue the people. So all over, in Accra, for example, we have had distress calls and we have responded to these calls appropriately. In all, 14 people were rescued, but a whole lot of people have been displaced, especially around the Cocoa Beach community in Lekman, Teshi, Greater Village, A-Life, Container, Rasta area, the Awushi, and Glefe, Dansuma, AME, Dansuma, Agege, and Glefe. So we have been at a crunch meeting, and our people are on 24-hour alert. And these rescue teams comprise 48 regiments. It's a joint team from 48 regiments here, Ghana Fire Service, police. They were all in the field with us to do the rescue.
Director of Hydromet at NADMO, Sarah Dinku, speaking to Agatha Samoa. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. FIFA president said Blatter under investigation. Meteorological agency urges public to brace up for more rains. Ghana Health Service implores Parliament to ratify protocol to stop illicit trade in tobacco products. DVLA justifies computer-based test requirement for issuance of driver's license. And court hands down 20-year sentence to medical students attacker. The rest of the news. A justice designate of the Supreme Court, Justice Yao Apo, has justified the emolument paid to Article 71 office holders. He said the institutions quoted under Article 71 of the Constitution are very sensitive, and therefore those in those institutions need to be properly taken care of. Justice Apo service in Parliament when he appeared before the Appointments Committee. Dominic Logie and Augustus Akwe with the report.
The current Justice of the Court of Appeal, Justice Yao Apo, has been a member of the Ghana Bar since 1982. He was appointed as sole commissioner of the Commission of Enquiry into Judgment Debts by President John Mahama in October 2012 and recently presented his report to the President. His appearance before the Appointments Committee of Parliament saw him being quizzed on a plethora of justice delivery matters and those bordering on general public interest. On the conditions of service for Article 71 office holders, Justice Apo said the level of poverty in the country makes the layman deem the current conditions of service of these office holders as taking big sums of money, but in reality, what is paid them is fair. As the judge who sat on the case of the death of Diana, he said per the documents furnished his court, the case had come to its logical conclusion, but said if anyone has evidence that could help reopen the case, that fellow could go to court.
Left to me alone as a judge, the case was a closed chapter. Well, from the facts that were brought before me, I determined the matter and the merits. So later, when the matter even was resurrected in another court, the judge who sat on the case was an appeal court judge who sat as an additional high court judge. He saw my judgment and then also came to the same conclusion. But you see, it could be that maybe some people know what happened and were not prepared to come forward. So they stay on the sidelines and then be passing comments, and then the media too will be hyping it. But that media hype, another thing, is not what the courts look at. If you think you have facts to prove what you are saying, why not go to court?
Justice Apo told the committee that he is advocating the decoupling of the Ministry of Justice and Attorney General. He tasked legal practitioners to be principled in their profession.
For me, since I came to the bench, no Chief Justice has ever interfered in my duties as a judge. Never. So I don't see any reason why even people should make noise about the Chief Justice campaigning the court. The fact that the President appoints you to the Supreme Court doesn't mean you have to do the bidding of the President. Or the fact that the Chief Justice puts you in the panel does not mean that you have to do the bidding of the Chief Justice. And I don't think any of our Chief Justices ever had that intention in empaneling their court. Well, it has never happened to me. Some people can take a decision by looking over their shoulders, thinking that we do it this way to satisfy some interest. If you do that, then you cease to be a judge.
Justice Apo is proposing that the members on the panel of the Supreme Court bench should be extended to 15 instead of the current 14 members. He appealed to Parliament to expedite action on the passage of the Property Rights of Spouses Bill as enshrined in Article 22 of the Constitution. He said when given the all clear to serve on the Supreme Court, he will do all his best to rally behind the Chief Justice, who he said is doing a lot to improve Ghana's justice delivery.
Dominic Hodge and Augustus Akwe filed that report. President John Mahama says government is ready to enter in strategic partnership with the private sector or individuals as far as providing affordable housing is concerned. The president was opening the 34th Shelter Afri Conference in Accra. In the next couple of days, stakeholders in the housing sector across Africa will deliberate on how to bridge the housing deficit by providing adequate and affordable accommodation. President Mahama charged the conference to also look at rent control issues in their discussion. Pascaline Adadevo has more.
This year's Shelter Afri conference is themed Developing Affordable Housing for Rent. The focus is on rent primarily because it is estimated that about 90% of Africans cannot own homes because mortgage financing is on the higher side. Shelter Afri is a pan-Africa finance institution which supports the development of affordable housing in the real estate sector in Africa. Ghana joined the Shelter Afri regional body in 2011 and is currently its third largest sovereign shareholder. Ghana has a housing deficit of 1.7 million. Government has taken a number of interventions with a view to bridging this gap. About $50 million have been invested into providing housing for the security services across the country. Also, government has entered into a number of public-private partnerships in that sector. President Mahama further enumerates some interventions being undertaken.
Across the country, various affordable housing projects are at various levels of completion. Currently, the OAS project on the Afram Plains near Ningom Pram is ongoing to produce another approximately 5,000 housing units to increase our housing stock. Other PPPs between government and the private sector in improving the utilization of vast tracts of land held by government would also help to make more housing units available to the population. When completed, these current and ongoing projects will help add to our existing housing stock.
One area that has seen neglect in discussions regarding the housing sector is rent control issues. President Mahama charges the delegates to critically discuss the rent issues side-by-side home ownership.
Housing, like any commodity, is subject to the laws of demand and supply. Unavailability of rental units in urban centers for low and middle-income families means that rental conditions are expensive and difficult. The rental units available in many African urban centers are high-end rental units, often going for thousands of dollars and cannot be afforded by the low to middle-income families. Homeowners also more often than not demand rent advances of up to 2 years and in some cases 3 years, a situation that further chokes the already suffocating client. And so how we introduce innovating financing schemes to ensure that we're able to overcome these difficulties are some of the outcomes I expect from your AGM.
The managing director of Shelter Afrique, James Mugawa, said Shelter Afrique hope to increase its investment in Ghana's housing sector to $75 million by the end of the year. He called for partnerships between member states in the development of their housing sectors. 2 months ago, Ghana launched a housing policy which has a goal to provide affordable, safe, and adequate housing for the citizens. The policy also has embedded in it a proposed housing fund. The fund will be used for affordable mortgages, slum upgrading, and support for small-scale local building material producers.
Pascaline Adadivo reporting. The final documents on the framework to guide negotiations for conditions of service for health sector employees has been produced. The document is to be studied thoroughly by relevant stakeholders in the health sector for implementation. Minister of Health Alex Segbefia commended the technical group that produced the document prior to the two-week extension. He prayed the document to be looked into by stakeholders in order for it to be put to full use. Mr. Segbefia made this known at the submission of the final document of conditions of service for health officers in Accra. Bella Ejakwa and Rosemond Boateng's report.
After 10 years, a document on conditions of service for health officers has finally been adopted for implementation by the health sector. The Minister of Health, Alex Segbefia, points out that various stakeholders will be engaged to review the document, after which it will be finally adopted with the hope to better conditions of service for health workers.
We are getting to the stage where we are hoping that shortly we will come to the end of the process and Ghana Health Service will have conditions of service for its members. And it is clear that now that we have this document, we will study it and ensure that others also have a look at it in terms of other institutions and organizations. And once they have done their paper, we will have a document that can be signed by all stakeholders involved in the process. And this will then bring this phase of affairs to an end.
The principal witness of the handing over of the document, the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, said the document deals with specific issues on general conditions of service and conditions that affect grades and ranks. He also appealed to the Ghana Medical Association not to resort to strikes whenever they are faced with challenges.
Bella Ejakwa and Rosemond Boateng's report. Head of the Disease Control Department of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Tay Farid, has called on Parliament to ratify the protocol to eliminate illicit trade in tobacco products. This, he said, will help protect citizens from the economic, social and health impact of illicit trade. Dr. Farid said illicit tobacco is easily accessible and affordable on the market, thus making it easy for the youth to engage in its use. Dr. Farid said this at a media sensitization forum in Accra to mark World No Tobacco Day. He added that illicit tobacco accounts for as much as 1 in every 10 cigarettes consumed globally, a development, he said, must be checked to decrease tobacco-related illnesses and premature deaths. As part of efforts to increase the awareness on blood donation in Ghana, the National Blood Service has launched activities in Accra towards this year's World Blood Donor Day. The head of the National Blood Service, Dr. Paul Mensah, says much needs to be done to encourage voluntary blood donation among Ghanaians. He said this at the media launch of the World Blood Donor Day, which is observed on the 14th of June every year. The media launch will also be used to outdoor the brand ambassador for the voluntary blood donation campaign. The chief executive of the Driver Vehicle and Licensing Authority, DVLA, Rudolf Beckley, says the introduction of the computer-based test as a requirement for driver's license is to promote best practices in the transport industry to guarantee road safety. He said the DVLA has factored the concerns of driver unions into the computer-based test. As a result, there will be a touch screen facility as well as a translation of examination questions into 5 local languages to help applicants who do not understand the English language. Mr. Beckley said this at a news conference in Accra. It follows agitation by some drivers against the DVLA's computer-based test.
The Committed Drivers Association had over the weeks accused the DVLA of pushing drivers out of their jobs. They claim the following measures by the authority are draconian, to say the least. The introduction of a compulsory driving course for potential drivers, the newly introduced electronic roadworthy sticker, the installation and use of seat belts in all sitting positions in vehicles, the introduction of private vehicle test stations, and the prevention of illiterates from driving, among others. According to the association, the move will not only affect most of its illiterate members, but could make life unbearable for them. But the DVLA believes the measures could go a long way in sanitizing the transport industry and weed out all manner of persons who steer the wheel just for the sake of it. The director of the Driver Vehicle and Licensing Authority, Rudolf Beckley, highlights the authority's concerns.
Before 2003, the assessment of drivers took the form of an oral test, then followed by an in-traffic test. In 2004, the authority introduced a written test that had the oral duty of translating the patterns to the applicants who could not read, and that defeated the integrity of the test. The authority continued the reforms until 2007, when the translation of questions. At that point, applicants read the questions on their own and provided answers which were then marked. Unfortunately, not long after this introduction, this process came forth with a lot of allegations pertaining to distrust, corruption, favoritism, and what have you. It was at this point that it was decided finally to introduce a new method that will seek to address all the concerns once and for all, and to introduce a new test regime that will meet international standards, hence the introduction of computer-based test in 2013, which largely has served us very well. It is well noted that the objective of the test is to ensure best practices which guarantee safety. Really, as part of process for streamlining the examination process, in line with the concerns of transport unions.
According to Mr. Beckley, the measures have their roots in the Road Traffic Regulations, LI 2180-2012, and it assigns a plethora of responsibilities to the DVLA aimed at sanitizing the transport industry.
Ibrahim Kwating reporting. And the 22-year-old welder who attempted to rape a final year female student of the Ghana Medical Association at its Kolibu campus has been sentenced to 20 years imprisonment by an Accra Circuit Court. The convict, Emmanuel Ayi, alias Khan, was also found guilty of robbery. The court, presided over by Francis Obri, said the action of Ayi could have caused the death of the student, who had to jump to the ground from the second floor of a hostel. Now, the student has not only defended her cause, but is also working with the aid of clutches. On January 29 this year, the student spotted Ayi on her floor about 20 meters away from her room, holding a plastic bag. As soon as the complainant entered her room, Ayi quickly followed her there, locked the door, drew out a kitchen knife from the plastic bag, and warned her not to scream. He subsequently demanded 1,500 cedis from the complainant, which she could not provide. He then ordered her to lie on her bed with him, to which she obliged. The victim later escaped by jumping down from the second floor after fleeing from Ayi's grip. To end the news, the main points again. FIFA President Sepp Blatter is under investigation by U.S. officials as part of their inquiry into corruption at the World Football Body. A meteorologist has asked Ghanaians to brace up for more rains in the coming days. He told Radio Ghana that high pressure systems over the Atlantic system have intensified. And the 22-year-old welder who attempted to rape a final year student of the Ghana Medical School at its Kolobu campus has been sentenced to 20 years imprisonment by the Accra Circuit Court. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.